Morning. Menachos, we're on Daf Tzadivav. Okay. A little bit more to do from yesterday's Daf, so we're going to start on the bottom of Tzadihamid Beis. We're at the two Dafs on Tzadihamid Beis. We're going to start there. We'll get to the Mishnah, the new Mishnah for today. We'll learn the new Mishnah for today, and hopefully we'll get through the entire Daf. The Gemara yesterday brought down a Mishnah and talked about where do we prepare the Shtei Alechem, where do we prepare the Lechem Apanim. So the Mishnah told us that the lisha v'aricha, the kneading and the arranging of it takes place b'chutz, that could take place outside the azara. But when you bake it, you have to bake it inside the azara. The reason why you have to bake it inside the azara is because the oven is nimshach, the oven is a kli sharef, it is one of the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, once you bake it, it's going to imbue the bread with Kedusha, Kedusha Saguf, intrinsic Kedusha. And once something has intrinsic Kedusha, now it's subject to all the disqualifications, including the disqualification of Yotzei. It can't be taken out of the Azara. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, Ein Adochus HaShabbos, it does not override the Shabbos. We pointed out already, we ended yesterday's daf by pointing out that's a difficult line of the Mishnah. It doesn't override the Shabbos, so when are you supposed to bake it? So that means you're supposed to bake it on Friday. But if you bake it on Friday in an oven that we just described being a kli sharef, so that means that it has Kedusha Saguf. That means that it's going to spend the night not being on the table, because you don't put it on the table until Shabbos, and it's going to be disqualified with Lina. So that was a difficulty. It was a very big difficulty. We ended the daf yesterday I showed you Tosfos at the end of yesterday's daf, which means that these two lines of the Mishnah cannot be reconciled, meaning you're going to have to break the Mishnah up and say that the one who taught that first line of the Mishnah didn't teach this line of the Mishnah. Okay, that is... okay. There's more to discuss on this issue, but for the time being, we will leave it alone because we want to move on.
It says in this Mishnah that it has to go on in Shabbos by day?
Or is it the... Our Mishnah says it's not Docha Shabbos.
Oh.
Which means that our Mishnah is of the opinion that you have to bake it on Friday.
On Friday. But it's a previous Mishnah that said there has to go on in Shabbos.
No, it's placed on Shabbos. Everyone agrees it's placed on Shabbos. The only issue is when do we...
say that in our Mishnah?
No.
Okay.
It's just understood that it goes up on Shabbos. The Pasuk says it goes up on Shabbos. Whatever. It's an understanding that it goes up on Shabbos.
And no one wants to jump and say it goes on Friday night, right?
No. Shabbos is when the old is taken off and the new is put on.
Okay.
I mean, you'll see throughout the course of the discussion of Lechem Apanim that's just a basic understanding. Is it a Pasuk? All right. Ein Adochus Shabbos. Then the Mishnah went on, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Ma'aseim Bifnim. Rabbi Yehuda says, everything's done inside. Everything is done inside the Azara. That's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Shimon Omer Lo'olam Havei Ragul Omer Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim K'sheres Bazar K'sheres Beveis Pagi. And Rabbi Shimon says, no. You get accustomed to saying, meaning repeat the following, and then say it again. Lo'olam Havei Ragul Omer Shtei Alechem Alechem Apanim K'sheres Bazar. You could do it in the courtyard. You can do it outside the courtyard as well. What the Beis Pagi is, where the Beis Pagi is, if you remember about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, we had a discussion of, because the Gemara used the same language of Beis Pagi, right? It could simply be that it's just talking about the walls of Yerushalayim. The point is, it could be done outside the Azara. Okay, good. Machlof Chin Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. We're now in the Gemara. We're starting towards the bottom of the page at the two dots. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Kol Ma'aseim Bifnim V'chule. And now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana V'shnei Mikra Echa Darshu. Both of them, meaning Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, who are arguing in terms of where do we prepare the Lechem Apanim, so they're arguing, and their basis of their argument all extends from the same Pasuk. Okay, so let's take a moment to look at some psukim in Shmuel, a little Tanakh for this morning. Okay, Shaul, right? We'll start there. We're in Shmuel Aleph. We're in Shmuel Aleph. This is right around the Haftorah for Erev Rosh Chodesh, right? No, it's a little bit afterwards. Okay, right after the Haftorah of Erev Rosh Chodesh. Erev Rosh Chodesh, remember? Machar Chodesh. That's where Shaul realizes that, David realizes that Shaul hates him, to the point where he wants to kill him, right? Yonasan and David make a pact with one another. Yonasan is the son of Shaul, and despite the fact that he's a son of Shaul, his loyalties are towards David. Okay, and David needs to run away from Shaul. So that is Perek Chafalf, and that's where we're going to begin. Now, Vayakam Vayelach Vayaronasam Babayir Vayavo David Nova El Achi Melech HaKohen. I'm just giving you the background. We're going to go through this quickly, but just giving you just basic background so you understand the context of our Gemara. So David runs to Achimelech HaKohen. So he's going to the Kohanim, running away from Shaul, his father-in-law. Now when he gets to Achimelech, Achimelech is scared, and and he hurries up and he goes and he greets them and he says, David, why are you by yourself? So he says, well, I'm on a special mission from the king. Fine. Now, it will become apparently clear, as we go through the next couple of psukim, David is famished. Meaning, the man is absolutely starving. The Gemara is going to teach us in just a moment to the point where he's near death. Okay? That's how hungry he is. So he says to Achimelech the Kohen, you have bread? Give me bread. Vayana Kohen is David Vayomer in lechem chol. I don't have any regular bread, mundane bread. I do have sanctified bread, lechem kodesh. So vayyan David as a kohen, vayomer lo ki misha with surala nanu kid moshe shom betesi vayiklan arim kodesh v'hu derechol v'av ki ayom yikdash bekeli. And David says, and this is the line that we're going to be focusing on. David says, "Kimisha asur alanu kid moshe shom." First of all, don't worry, we weren't with women. Meaning that had they been with women, so then they would have been tamei and they wouldn't be allowed to eat the lechem kodesh. So we weren't with women, and also our weapons that we used are also not tamei. I mean, we didn't kill anybody with our weapons. V'hu derechol v'af ki ayom yikdash bekli. And it's derech chol, meaning, and anyway, the bread is kind of not kodesh. We'll have to understand what that means in just a moment. The avkei ayom yikdash bekli, and even if today it would have been sanctified in a vessel, I'd still be allowed to eat the bread. Vayitein lo hakohen kodesh ki lo haya sham lechem ki im lechem apanim hamusarim milifnei Hashem. And so he had the kohen had nothing else to give him, so he gave David hamelech lechem upon him. Okay, so David was able to eat the lechem upon him. Lasum lechem chom biyom hilakchol. It was hot, right? Hot bread, kind of like the day it was placed on. All right.
Interesting, because this is his pikuach nefesh here.
The Gemara is going to conclude.
Wait, and if it's hot.
Yeah.
It's been baked on Friday. It's been overnight.
Well, okay. Wait. We'll get to that in just a moment. So, Danny, the Gemara is going to conclude at the end of this discussion. It's not a long discussion. Short discussion. The Gemara that essentially your point, meaning David was pekuach nefesh. So, really, the entire discussion of kodesh, not kodesh, when was it baked, where was it baked, all that discussion gets kind of tossed out the window because David was pekuach nefesh. And okay. That's where the Gemara is going to end on this whole discussion. But we're not at the end, we're at the beginning of the discussion. So, the Gemara quotes the Pasuk. So, V'hu derechol av ki hayom yikdesh bekli, or bekeli. So, and the bread anyway is mundane, and even if it were sanctified today in the kli. So now, this is the discussion that David has with Achimelech. When does this discussion take place? So, Rebbe Yehuda savra b'chol ashkechina deka afulei. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, this whole discussion takes place on Friday. Okay? It was a weekday. So let's call it the weekday Friday. So Amalahu Derech Chol Kafisulay. And so what David says to Achimelech the Kohen is that, oh, it's Friday. Which means you baked it in a non-Kli Shares. You had to have baked it in a non-kli shares. Why? Because avki ayom yikdash bekli, if so levelina. Because if you would have baked it in an oven that was a kli shares, so then it has now kedushas aguf. You're not putting it on the table till tomorrow, and it will be disqualified through the psul of lina. So it must be that even though I know it's lechem upon him, but it's not yet kadosh because it's Friday and you must have baked it in a non-kli shares. Okay, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. So then that means, okay, good. So that is how Rav Yehuda understands the give and take. Rabbi Shimon Sava, Rabbi Shabbos Ashkechino, the Ka'afule. So, and according to Rabbi Shimon, no. It was baked on, in other words, the conversation over here took place on Shabbos. Amar Lahu, Lo Derech Chol, Bi Isu Lema Avde. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. What are you doing baking it on Shabbos? Shouldn't you have baked it the day earlier? Mi Ditana Mekadesh Shulchan or the Mekadesh? What do you think? You think the oven's Mekadesh? It's actually the Shulchan that's Mekadesh. So that is the two versions of the debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda is when exactly did David and Achimelech have this conversation regarding the bread? So the Gemara says, now the whole assumption here is that they encountered one another while they were baking the bread. How could you say that? So the Gemara says, he handed him the bread. So there wasn't at the point of baking. This is well after the point of baking. So how can you even entertain that the whole discussion over here is while they were baking the bread? So the Gemara says, okay, so what does that mean, derechol? So elahachi ka'amr le, leik alechem ki'im lechem apanim u'mustarim lefnei Hashem. So the Kohen says to David, look, I'd love to help you, but all I have is lechem apanim. Like I have no other bread. So the Gemara says, look, David says back to Achimelech, let me break it to you. Right now, you can give me any bread you want. Look, if the bread were to come off the table, let's just say the bread were to come off the table. So that bread, it's Kodesh bread. Meaning, remember, the Lechem Aponim is Mincha. It's Kodesh Kadashim. It can only be eaten by male Kohanim in the Azara. David says, once the bread's taken off the table, and once the Kohanim are allowed to eat it, it kind of gets a little bit easier to eat, halachically. Why? So as Rashi explains, the Gemara. Because we know the halacha is, once Kohanim are allowed to eat it, now we all understand, it's only the Kohanim are allowed to eat it. Nobody else is allowed to eat it. Fine. But once the Kohanim are allowed to eat it, it now is left the parsha of Me'ilah. It's no longer subject to the prohibition of Me'ilah. Why? Because Me'ilah is only for those things which are off limits to everybody. Once Kohanim are allowed to eat it, there's no longer an issur of Me'ilah. Now granted, David's not a Kohen and David's not allowed to eat the lechem upon him, but at least it's better because there's no longer an issur of Me'ilah. But David HaMelech then makes another point to Achimelech. But let's even go one step further. Let's say he was even sanctifying the kli, and it's subject to the Isra of Me'ilah. Havu li de'lechol misukanhu. I'm still entitled to eat it because I'm about to die. Rashi says, top Rashi on Sadi Vav Amid Aleph, achzu bumus. He had some sort of ailment. I don't know how to describe it in modern terminology. Right?
Not
but
bulimia?
The word comes from it, but it's not that. Bulimia is more of a psychological illness. Whatever. It was some illness. Vitzanan, and we have a Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah tells us that if somebody has this kind of illness, it is a life-threatening illness, and you eat on Yom Kippur, and which is an Issur Kares, and certainly if you need to eat the Lechem upon him, so you eat that as well. So David HaMelech was near death, and so David HaMelech says, I'm going to eat the lechem upon him, even if it becomes Kaddish today. Good. So now that we're here, and this is the point that Danny mentioned earlier, which is really the whole discussion over here, is that basically David is saying to Achimelech, I don't care what stage we are at the lechem upon him. It's on the table, it's off the table. You were just Mekadesh it. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm about to die, so you hand it to me. Give it to me right now. Okay? Good. So now we've taken that entire story and basically removed it from our entire discussion. Because our discussion is, where do we prepare the lechem upon him? In the Azara, outside the Azara, when does it become Kadosh? On Friday, on Shabbos, right? All this is our issue. The story with David HaMelech is totally irrelevant. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, top line, Tzadi Vav Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Bikamar Pligi. So, yeah, they're having an argument, and their argument is tradition. Meaning each one of them possessed a tradition in terms of where the Lechem Hapanim was prepared, inside the temple courtyard, outside the temple courtyard. So, and how do I know that? Dekanami Dekani. In fact, go back to the Mishnah, reread the Mishnah, and you'll see that their argument is all about tradition. Why? Because in the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Amar Lolam, Havi Ragel Lomar. Get accustomed to saying this. What does that mean? Right, La'olam Havi Ragel Lomar. Get accustomed to saying this. Meaning, this is a tradition I have, so I'm going to pass the tradition on to you, and just keep repeating it. So the Gemara says, correct, okay. So the whole issue between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon is based simply on tradition, and the story with David HaMelech is not relevant to this discussion. Okay. For a moment, we're going to discuss now the Mincha offered by the Kohen Gadol. Mincha offered by the Kohen Gadol was daily. It's called the Minchas Chavitim. It's called the Minchas Chavitim simply because it was baked in a machva, or fried, I should say, in a machva. Machva, one of the types of pans that was used in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. The Mishnah tells us that all of it, meaning the kneading, the arranging, the baking, all of it was done in the temple courtyard. Why? So Rashi explains. And it's very simple. Because the Isaron measuring cup, which we've been discussing, which is the main measuring cup that dries that measures the dry, so that is not Nimshach. Now, we already know that's subject to a debate. We already know that some are of the opinion that it is Nimshach. But let's, for this discussion, let's assume it's not Nimshach. Right? Why are we assuming that? Because we assume that in the previous Mishnah as well. If it was Nimshach, so then obviously the moment the flower hits the Klisharis, you'd have to be inside the Azara. The previous Mishnah said that you don't have to be inside the Azara. Let's assume that the Isaron measuring cup is not Nimshach, and therefore doesn't give the flower Kedushas Aguf. Good. Let's assume that. Okay? Simple question. Why isn't it Nimshach? Right? I don't know if we formally made this point yet. Why is the Isaron measuring cup not Nimshach? So Rashi over here writes, I'll tell you why. Because everyone's measuring. Meaning, right, Rashi says, Mibnei shekol adam modeid bo minchaso, depamin shemotzi alachutz. Meaning, measuring can be done, you don't have to be a coin to measure, you can be a non-coin to measure, it doesn't matter. And everyone's going to be measuring. And not all the time are you going to be in the Azara. So in other words, it's just simply a practical issue. We can't have everyone measuring, I mean, everyone will be measuring, and if you're in the, and if you're not in the Azara, it's going to become disqualified. Right, so just to avoid the whole issue, the position taken by our Mishnah is that the Isaron measuring cup is not Nimshach, it's not anointed, it doesn't give the flower Kedushas Aguf. Good. Okay, there's one other dry measuring cup, and that is the Chatzi Isaron, the half Isaron measuring cup. Now Rashi points out over here that's used only by the Kohen Gadol. So there, we're not worried about other people using it because nobody else is using it. It's only the Kohen Gadol. So now, our concern of, are you in the Azara, are you out of the Azara, how could it be Nimshach if you're out of the, all that concern no longer becomes an issue by the half Isaron measuring cup. So now, the half Isaron measuring cup is Nimshach, it's anointed, and so now that it's anointed, everything needs to be done in the Azara. Good. However, but the grinding of the flour and the sifting of the flour, that's not Docha Shabbos, that does not override the Shabbos. Okay, why not? Because it can be done before Shabbos. Klal Amar Rabbi Akiva. Here we go, one of the most basic rules that comes up again and again in Shas. Rabbi Akiva says, Kol Malacha she'ef shal asos ame'er Shabbos, eino Docha es ha-Shabbos, u'she'ef shal asos ame'er Shabbos, Docha es ha-Shabbos. If you could do the activity before Shabbos, it doesn't override the Shabbos. If the activity has to be done on Shabbos, so it doesn't override the Shabbos. Right? I'll give you a simple example. We'll start off with a really simple example. Right? Shechting an animal. Right? We know that we have to bring a carbon on Shabbos. Okay? So how about this? How about we shech the animal before Shabbos and then we offer the animal on Shabbos? You can't do that. Right? Why not? Because it's EF Shalat Sosamer of Shabbos, meaning once you shech the animal, now you have to collect the blood, and the blood can't just simply stay overnight. you have to shecht on Shabbos itself, meaning it just simply cannot be done beforehand. Good. When it comes to the grinding of the flour, you can grind it before Shabbos. Sifting of the shour, you could sift it before Shabbos. So once these activities can be done before Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos. Right? What about baking? Baking is going to be an issue. Because the ovens, as we discussed already, are nimshach, which means that once you bake in the oven, now it has to do shasaguf. If I baked it before Shabbos, so you're going to be stuck. So baking has to be done on Shabbos. What about kneading the dough? Kneading the dough has to take place on Shabbos as well, because it's kneaded in a kli shares. So the Mishnah provides for us the basic rules. Anything that could be done before Shabbos has to be done before Shabbos, and you don't have the right to override the Shabbos. Those things which need to be done on Shabbos, which can only be done on Shabbos, you have the right to override the Shabbos. Okay, good. This is the mincha that is offered on Shabbos, specifically the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. Chavitim of Kohen Gadol is offered daily, so daily means including Shabbos. So only those activities which you need to do on Shabbos, kneading and baking, can be done on Shabbos. Okay. Kol ha-menachos yesh ba ma'isa kli b'fnim. Ve'ein bahen ma'isa kli b'chos. When you have a mincha, and you're doing something in a kli shares, you have to be in the azara. Right? And you can't do it outside the azara. Okay. Now we're back to our shtei alechem and lechem aponim. Shtei alechem, arkam. And so now the Gemara is going to give specific dimensions of the shtei alechem and the lechem aponim. Now the shtei alechem, it's interesting. The Gemara is going to be very specific in terms of dimensions. You'll see that with the lechem aponim, we need to be more specific because the lechem aponim have to fit on the table. Shtei alechem, right? And even though the Mishnah is going to be very clear about what the dimensions are, right? The shtei alechem doesn't really go on the table, but okay, it has dimensions. Shtei alechem, arkan shiva tfachim v'rach v'dal tfachim. Each loaf of the two loaves that are offered on Shavuos is 7 tfachim in length. A tefach is about 4 inches. 28 inches in length. That's a nice loaf. 28 inches is, what is it, about 2 feet?
They're a matzah, by the way.
Huh?
They're a matzah.
I know, it's not chomis.
Yeah, I know, but don't think, you're going to say matzah, and you're going to think about the thin, it was thick.
It's a thick matzah.
Yeah, thick matzah. And remember, the Shtei Alechem and Shavuos was not matzah, that was chametz. Right? But you're right, though, the Lechem Aponim was. So, Shtei Alechem Arkan Shiva Tfachim. So, it was 7 Tfachim long, Rachman Dal Tfachim, 4 Tfachim wide. Right? That's nice. Nice size loaf for Shavuos. Vikarnosel Arba Etzbaos. And don't forget about the horns. That's correct. Right? Not only do we have horns, but the bread has horns as well. Okay. Good. If you understood that was a joke, good. If you didn't understand that was a joke... Okay, fine. Too late. The Shtei Alechem is going to have horns. The Lechem Aponim is going to have horns as well. Horns just simply mean protrusions at the ends. Okay? As we're about to learn... the protrusions on the Shtei Alechem may have gone actually upward. The protrusions of the Lechem Aponim went actually inside, into the bread. I'll try to be clear about it later on. Picture is worth 1,000 words over here. So Arba Etzbos. Good. Those are the dimensions for the Shtei Alechem. Lechem Aponim. Now when we go to the Lechem Aponim, Arkan Yutfachem V'Rachman Heitfachem V'Karnoseh Sheva Etzbos. According to the Tanakhama, its length is 10 tfachim, its width is 5 tfachim, and the kronos and the horns, the protrusions at each corner is going to go out 7 etzbaos. Each etzba is approximately an inch, so you're talking about basically 7 inches of kronos, of protrusions. Now, Rav Yehuda Omer, Shalot Tite, Rav Yehuda says, here, let me help you with this, let me give you a mnemonic, so now you will not forget. And the mnemonic is Zadad Yahaz. Okay, the Zadad is Zayin Dalad Dalad. That's the Shtei Alechem. 7 by 4 by 4. Okay, 7 inches. 7 tfachim long, 4 tfachim wide, 4 etzbaos for the protrusions in the corners, in the four corners. Yahaz, that's your Lechem Aponim. Yud is 10, He is 5, Zayin is 7. 10 tfachim by 5 tfachim by 7 etzbaos for the corners. Then Zoma Omer Vidasata La Shulchan Lechem Panim Lefanai Tamid Lechem Panim Shiyulo Panim. Now in the Mishnah it reads Panim. Perhaps the better reading, you'll see it on the side of the Gemara, is Yeshlo Pinim. What's a pina?
Corner.
Right? The bread needs corners. Okay? And Rashi offers two explanations over here. Rashi's first pshat is that means simply that the bread's going to have walls to it. Okay? We'll describe what that means in just a moment. Or the second pshat of Rashi is that we're actually talking about the kronos. We're talking about the horns of the bread, the protrusions that come out in every one of the four corners. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to configure. Meaning, we're basically going to fit the bread on the shulchan. So if we may, can we pretend right now that my table over here is going to be the shulchan? And the Gemara is going to explain now how the bread actually fits on the shulchan. So the Mishnah describes, HaShulchan Arko Yud V'Rachvo Chamisha. So, the table itself is 10 by 5. Okay? 10 tfachim by 5 tfachim. This table is almost about right. Okay? Yeah. 10 tefachim is, each tefach is 4 inches. So what are you looking at? You're looking at 40 inches, approximately. 40 inches by 20 inches. Okay, that's going to be the length of your table. Yeah. Okay, give or take. Okay, this is it. This is the shulchan. So now, how is this going to work? Remember that we load the lechem aponim up into two columns. So basically your lechem aponim now is going to be fit one column over here, one column over here. The obvious issue, which hopefully you've already figured out, is wait a second, space. We got space issues. Now I know in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Sometimes we don't worry about space issues. Sometimes, but generally speaking, we're going to spend an entire Masechta talking about the linear dimensions of the Beis Hamikdash, and with exception to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where there space is not an issue, right? But anywhere outside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, obviously space is, we're going to assume linear measurement. So now that means the lechem aponim we just described being 10 by 5. The table is 10 by 5. Right. So how does that work? Meaning, and there are going to be two columns on the table.
But also there's shelves that you got to put on, so they got their own dimensions.
Okay, and the shelves, we'll get to in just a moment. So the resolution is going to be like this. We are not letting the bread lay flat, but rather we're folding the bread. And there's going to be, so now if you would imagine, now here's my table, let's put the lechem here. Now the lechem is not the crispy matzah, it's a soft dough. So we're going to put a fold over here, we're putting a fold over here. The Mishnah is about to describe the fold here is going to be 2.5 tefachim, the fold over here is going to be 2.5 tefachim. So I just took the length and I halved it. Because I went 2.5 up here, 2.5 up here, and now the base of the bread is going to now be 5 tefachim. 5 tefachim long, 5 tefachim wide. Good. Now I'll take the bread that I just halved the base, and I'll move it to this side over here. And then we're going to go stack one on top of the other. Okay? If we had pictures over here, if I had the actual lechem aponim, this would be a lot easier. When I stack them one on top of the other, so how high would they go? That's easy. Each bread is 2.5 tefachim high because of the fold over that I just made. So 2.5 tefachim high, one stacked on top of the other, 6 breads high, 6 times 2.5, 15 tefachim high. So the bread would be stacked up 15 tefachim high.
Like sitting on top of each other that way.
Yeah.
There's no space between them.
So we're going to describe in just a moment, that's where the shelving comes in. Because then what you would have is you would have shelving running up on both sides with poles, little rods between them. And so those rods would provide support for the breads so that the breads would not have to actually weigh on top of one another. The shelving would actually provide independent support for each bread. Okay, even though...
Shelving holds up to sides too.
The shelving holds up, right, the shelving will hold...
2.5.
Correct. The shelving would hold each side of the bread. Okay, that is the Mishnah's description of it. Let's see all this inside. Hashulchan Arko, let's do this again. Hashulchan Arko. All right, let's go quicker. Hashulchan Arko. You put the length of the bread against the width of the table, and kofel, and you fold it over. Tfachayim amechta mikanu, tfachayim amechta mikan, nimsa arko memale rachbo shoshochan, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. What are we going to debate over here? What's the issue? What we're going to debate over here is the dimension of the table. Okay? That's a funny thing to debate. Okay? When we get to Masechta Midos, we're going to see this as well. There's a basic machlokus in terms of the following. How long is an amma?
18.
So the amma is 6 tfachim. However, some are of the opinion, notably Rabbi Yehuda, that an amma in the Beis HaMikdash, when building the Beis HaMikdash, it's a different amma. Not an amma of 6 tfachim, but an amma of 5 tfachim. Okay? We know the table is an amma by 2 ammas. That says so in the Torah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that translates into 5 by 10 tfachim. Okay? Rabbi Meir says the table is going to be 6 by 12. Because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that even when we're building the Beis HaMikdash, the amma that's used is a 6 tefach amma, not a 5 tefach amma.
The table was built before the HaMikdash. It was in the desert.
Correct. Correct. And so
that should have been the same measurement as...
Agreed,
but
agreed.
We had desert measurements also.
Okay. All right, look, how do we...
Measurements
right.
Weeks ago.
How exactly do we get to this point where this becomes a point of dispute, and how do we not know?
Remember.
Okay, one of those questions which... Yeah, so and then only exacerbates the issue.
Right.
Right. Okay. I'm not going to have a... I don't have a good way to present it. So Rabbi Meir Omer Shulchan Aruch Yud Beis Rach Vav Lacham Apanim Aruch Yud Verach Vohei. So now the dimensions of the bread don't change. So Nosein Arko Kenag Rach Vosh Shulchan Kofa Tfachai Mikan Tfachai Mikan. According to Rabbi Meir, your fold is going to be a different fold because you only need to fold 2 tfachim. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the table is 6 tefach wide, so in order for the bread now to fit on the table, the bread is 10 tefachim long, so I only need to fold 2 on this side, 2 on that side. Once I subtract 4 from the length of the bread, 10 minus 4 equals 6, all I need to do is fold 2. So now, what's going to change, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the height. Because now that the fold is only going to be a 2 tefach fold, so now 2 over 2 over 2 over 2, and I do that 6 times, the height of the table, no, sorry, the height of the bread is going to be 12 tfachim high. Okay. Mikanu tfachim revach beemsa, kadeshit, I'm sorry. Mikanu tfachim mikan. U tfachim revach beemsa. Another thing that happens according to Rabbi Yehuda, because the table is 12 tfachim long and not 10 tfachim long, when the bread is placed on the table, you're having a gap between the two breads. Okay? Meaning, because the bread is only 5 tefach in width. 5 tefach in width from this side, 5 tefach in width from this side. So now there are going to be a solid 2 tefachim of space right in the middle. According to Rav Yehuda, don't worry. That space will be put to good use. What do we put in that area? Kedei shetei aruch min hashevetz behem. Airspace. Right? Deliberate, intentional airspace. Abishal Omer, Shamayunosim Sheba Zichel Lavona Shalachim Aponim. So Abishal says no. They would actually put the 2 spoonfuls of Lavona into that center spot. Amalov Arekvar Nemav Nasata Al Hamareches Lavona Zaka. Here we go to our classic debate. The Pasuk says that you put the spoonfuls of Lavona on. The Torah says the words Al. So Amalahem. So Abishal says in his defense, no, Al as a preposition does not necessarily mean on top of. Menashe was Al was next to. I know we just read this parsha a couple weeks ago. Who was he next to? Menashe was next to Reuven? Is that right? Okay. My crack research team will look it up. And or I'll look it up after the daf. Anyway, but the point is, Menashe wasn't on top of another shaved.
Huh?
Ephraim. Oh, I should have known that.
I didn't know it.
I should have known that. Okay. Va'alav. it's a pasuk in Chumash, but okay. Va'alav matem Menashe. So Menashe is next to Ephraim. The Torah uses the word al. Okay, good. So Abishal says al doesn't mean necessarily on top of, al can mean next to. Arbas nipin shel zahav hayusham mifutzalim erashem shayusamchem behem shnayim l'seder zeh v'shnam l'seder zeh. Our shelving. We would have shelving. Now remember, we already described the shelving either started on the table itself or the shelving started from the floor and went up. Either way. The point is that you had shelving and that would be used to support the bread so that the bread wouldn't actually have to sit one on top of the other. The shelving provided weight support for each loaf. Reeds would go from one shelf to the other shelf, from one plank to the other plank, and the bread was placed on the actual reeds. Chatzi kane chalul, meaning if you take a pipe and you split the pipe in half, and it rested on the half pipes of the reeds. 28 in total, 14 for this column, 14 for that column. The Gemara later on will talk about the actual configuration of these reeds. Okay, because if you do the math, it doesn't work out well. Okay.
Unless you're ultra thin.
Huh?
Unless you're ultra thin.
Right. We'll talk about that. Low cedar kind of baloney till asam doches haShabbos. You can't put it together on Shabbos. You can't put the shelving together on Shabbos. So what do? Al nichnas me'erev Shabbos v'shamto. On erev Shabbos on Friday you go. You take it out, meaning you take out the whole shelving. So from Friday afternoon until Shabbos day, the bread is actually going to weigh one on top of the other. Okay, apparently that worked. That went okay. V'nosel la'arko shel shulchan kol hakelim shehayu b'mikdash arka. I'm sorry. V'shamto v'nosel la'arko shel shulchan. You lay it down next to the table. Kol hakelim shehayu b'mikdash arka la'arko shel bayis. Now, in terms of one more design issue, says the Mishnah, everything went lengthwise with the bayis. Okay, but all lengths were parallel with one another. You don't fully understand that? We'll come back to that point later on. We'll explain that point a little bit better. Okay, let's start with the Gemara. Kol ha-menachos yesh bahem maisa kli mebifnim. Shalu as Rebbe. So they asked, they went to Rebbe, as in Rebbe Huda Nasi, Zumi Nayan. Where'd you get this from? How do you know all this? Am alehem arehu omer. Pasuk in Yecheskel, please. Pasuk in Yecheskel, perek mem zayim. We've hit that perek in Yecheskel again and again and again because it gives us some basic ground rules regarding the Beis HaMikdash. Now the pasuk reads Es Hashem Ves HaChatas Asher Yefu Es HaMincha Levilti Hotzi El HaChatzer HaChitzona. These are things that can't be taken out of the courtyard, and the things mentioned in the pasuk are Chatas Hashem and Mincha. So Mincha Domi Hashem VeChatas Mach Hashem VeChatas Tuunim Kli Af Mincha Nami Tuunim Kli. Now, can't leave the temple courtyard. Why not? Because it needs the Kli Sharis. Because once placed in the Kli Sharis, it now has Kedusha Saguf. Once it has Kedusha Saguf, you can't take it out of the Azara, because if you do, it's going to be possible with the Psul of Yotzei. Okay, good. All this is based on the Pasuk in Yecheskel. Right? How can Yecheskel teach us Halacha? Right? Classic question. Classic answer is, he's not teaching us Halacha. It's all been there before. It's just the concretization of a halacha that was already known. Hashulchan archo asara. The table is 10 tfachim long. Am Rabbi Yochanan divrei Amar tfachim amechta kofel nimsa shulchan mekadesh chamisha asar tfachim amala. The divrei Amar tfachim kofel nimsa shulchan mekadesh yud bei tfachim lamala. The Gemara does for us simple math, which we already did in the Mishnah. When I fold the lechem upon him, so if the fold is 2.5 tefachim on each side, so I do that 6 times, one over the other, and I end up 15 tefachim. So the shulchan has kedusha going up 15 tefachim. Because remember, the shulchan provides sanctity to the bread. So the shulchan has a, so to say, a ceiling of kedusha that extends 15 tefachim above the base of the table. So now, as long as the bread's within 15 tefachim, so the bread's going to be kadosh.
How do they come up with that concept that there's a limit to how much kedusha it has for this measurement?
I was wondering the same thing myself. I don't have an answer. Meaning, how come we just simply don't say it extends
all the way like a...
like a Rishus HaYachid, right? Rishus HaYachid goes ad l'rakia. How come over here there's
Tumat oil goes
all the way up? How come the Kiddush doesn't go all the way up? How come we're capping it? I had the same question myself. I don't have an answer.
The 15, 2.5 each.
Right.
What about the
rods? Good. Your Gemara is going to ask your question. V'ha'ika kanim. So the Gemara says, wait a second. You're just All you're doing is adding the numbers of the bread, the folds in the bread, but aren't there that we just described the rod? So kanim shikui mashakelahu. So the rods, the bread depressed into the rods, meaning the bread is soft. I know it's matzah, but just let's keep saying it over and over again. It's soft. So even though the bread sat on the rods, it didn't sit over the rods. It actually depressed into the rods. So the rods did not add anything to the height. Now, the reason why we want this to happen is because we want the bread not to spoil and not to decay. So therefore, the bread is placed on the rods to provide support. So the Gemara says, okay, but doesn't that mean that the bread needs to be raised a little bit? Meaning the whole point of the rods is that the bread doesn't sit one on top of the other. So there's got to be just a little bit of airspace between each bread. So the Gemara says, taken, point taken. And the Gemara says, you're right. Those little air pockets between each bread do amount, but don't amount to a whole lot. It doesn't even amount to a full tefach. So therefore, when the Mishnah says 15, the Mishnah doesn't say it, but when the Gemara says 15, it means 15 plus the air pockets, but we can ignore that.
The bread has to be baked in such a way that they will have these places for the rods.
Yes. Yeah, the Gemara, right. The Gemara said that a couple of days ago. That
right, they were for the rods also.
Yep. Right. The ha'ika bazichin. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about the two spoonfuls of Lavona? So the Gemara says the two spoonfuls of Lavona were not over on top of the bread, but actually in that those top two breads, they were placed into the belly, so to say, of the bread. Meaning they were in the heart of the bread, so they didn't actually go over the cap.
Were they within a container themselves, or were they just put directly on top of the bread?
No, they were in a spoon. The Lavona was in a spoon, and the spoon was placed in the bread. Va'ika karnos, so the Gemara says, what about our protrusions, our horns, that the Mishnah described? And remember, the horns of the lechem aponim yahaz were 7 etzba'os. So the Gemara says, karnos legavid lechem kayef lehu. Okay, good. But the horns were bent inward. Top of the next amud, sadi vavam and beis va'ika mizgarto. Okay, now for the remainder of today's Gemara, we're going to talk about the mizgaret. Okay. Right, think of your tables at home. Don't think of the table that's in front of you right now, the one that I'm using, because we don't have a mizgaret. A mizgaret is a frame.
Like the shtender has a mizgaret, right?
Yeah. The shtender has a little mizgaret, one going up. Right. Now, the Gemara, now we know, the Chumash says that the Shochan in the Beis HaMikdash had a mizgaret. It had a frame. Here's what we don't know. Okay, and the Gemara is going to debate this right now. Did the mizgaret go below the edge of the table? Right. It was almost like a aesthetic frame that went around. Didn't have a functional purpose to it. Okay, or just a drop, right? A lip going down, or was the mizgaret above the table, providing a what's it called? A toch, an inside for the table. Okay, and this is another machlokas.
The nafkamina is that if it was above, then it gives kedusha to things that are sitting.
We're going to see. The nafkamina is going to be in the world of tum and tahara, but okay, the Gemara is going to discuss. Ulamanda v'ha'ika mizgarto. So the Gemara now says, remember, we have this cap, right? And I don't have a good answer for Ben's question. Why do we have this cap? I don't know. But we have this cap of 15 tefachim. So there's no way the bread can go higher than 15 tefachim because we're capped. So the Gemara says, but I understand, what about the mizgaret? Now the Gemara is assuming right now that the bread was placed. First of all, the Gemara is making two assumptions. Assumption number one, the mizgaret is above the table. Assumption number two, the bread goes on the mizgaret. Okay? You can challenge both of those assumptions.
On,
which
it's in the mizgaret.
On. Right now the Gemara is assuming it's on. So the Gemara is going to challenge both of those assumptions. So, ulamanda amra mizgarto lamala haisa. Sorry. The ha'ika mizgarto. Kemanda amra mizgarto lamata haisa. Okay, so the Gemara says, first of all, remember it's a debate. And we could just simply say that the mizgaret was below and not above. Okay. Ulaman damar mizgarto lamata haisa. Parkude hava miparkada velechem begave b'shulchan hava yasa. I'm sorry, b'shulchan hava. Or even if you want to tell me that the misgaret is above, you're assuming that the misgaret, the bread was placed on top of the misgaret. No, the misgaret inclined a little bit to the outside, and the bread went on the table itself. So the misgaret provided no additional height to the bread. Okay, good. So the Gemara says, so leave that out of the discussion. Yosef, I should have read that word. Kidetanya. The Gemara says, this is like the following brayta. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that, in fact, the shelving of the table, the frame of the table actually provided the support for the lechem upon him. According to Rabbi Yossi, there were no shelves. The table didn't have shelves. It didn't need it because it had the misgaret. So elamis gartosh shulchan ma'amenas v'salachan amar elamis garto lamataisa. So they say to Rabbi Yossi, "What are you talking about? The frame was not above. The frame was below. Like, what are you talking about?" So okay, good. So what do you see from this brisa? That there's a basic machlokus between the Tanaim, whether the frame was above or below. Okay? Again, kind of hard for me to explain.
What function would the frame have if it's...
aesthetic. Right? It's a good question, but the answer would be that it would just simply be there as part of the aesthetics of the table. Right? Look, aesthetics became a big part of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. By the menorah, we talked about the prachim, the shukadim, and the... Right? There are the gvi'im. Okay? You know, just aesthetic nature of it. So by the table... you have a frame that went below. So what do you see over here? You see that's a machlokas. Okay, we are about to engage in a discussion of Tumah Tahara. I think what would work right now is if we pause over here. I know we're a little bit behind. Let's put the let's table the discussion. Let's go to tomorrow we'll start with Tumah Tahara. Right, because Kli Asui Lanachas, like just a lot of big concepts in Tumah Tahara. I feel tomorrow we'll start fresh. We'll get a good. I'll give a good introduction to the Tumah Tahara talk. And okay.